I have to let you know, the King James Version was what was read in 8 o'clock service, and I love, instead of a bad odor, it was, he stinketh already. I just loved stinketh in the Bible. But with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning, whether you know it or not, this is a morning that is intended to be a celebration. And it is a celebration in three different ways. And these three different ways, I got challenged of, Pastor, how are you going to weave all those together in one Sunday? And so here we go. This morning, we begin with the communion of the saints and the celebration of those that have gone before us. And what better story to look at that than the story of Lazarus? That comes in our lectionary this morning. The story of Jesus when he was bound in human form on this earth, walking on it and teaching and living and breathing and being. Well, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus that was actually considered a friend of his, him and his sisters, Mary and Martha. While Jesus is out preaching and teaching and healing, Lazarus becomes gravely ill. The sisters look at him and they know that there is no hope left of what the doctors can do for him, and so they call for Jesus. Out of the faith of knowing who he is and what he's capable of, they faithfully call and say, Jesus, we need you to be here for Lazarus. They've seen the wonders that Jesus has done. They have seen the healing. They know that something can be done in this situation, so they call for him. But in a disappointing moment in the scriptures, Jesus doesn't come running. Jesus keeps doing what he's doing to accomplish the task that he is to do in the place where he is at. And it says, while he is there, Lazarus dies. It is not until his friend dies does he decide to go to him. And while he's entering the town and coming to that place, the sisters see him, and here they come running. Jesus, why didn't you come? Why weren't you here? You could have saved him. Of how many of these candles were those words thought? God, you are capable. Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you save my loved one? And at this point, as they're weeping and there's those that are criticizing Jesus and what he's capable and all of this hurt that's happening, and Jesus at that moment just begins to weep. But when he dries his eyes and gets his composure, what does Jesus do? But he points to the tomb and he says, roll away that stone, right? And that's where he's told there's a stinketh in there. There's a bad odor. He's been in there 4 days. 4 days in the tomb, plus however many days of preparation before it. Why would we roll away that stone? Why would we do that? There's no hope left. What's happened has happened. It's done, it's finished. The period is at the end of his life. Why are you going to break that tomb open and just rip the wounds once again? But Jesus says, do it. They listen to him, they roll away that stone, and Jesus shouts at Lazarus, Lazarus, get out of there. Why does he do it? Why does he do it? Because Jesus is God, and God lives by different rules, doesn't he? God says, in your human eyes, in your human minds, in your human knowledge, what you believe are the rules that we must abide by are different than mine. I have something else to say. What it seems is done can be undone, and he does it right in that moment. And we get the very first story of resurrection with Lazarus. But that's not it on resurrection, is it? Because the story moves on and Jesus keeps going. And that's just a foreshadowing of what's to happen, because Jesus walks himself right to that cross and hangs upon it for us. And he dies on that cross. And once again, we get a story of disappointment and heartache. And they put him in the tomb once again, questioning his capabilities, believing again that it is done, that the ending has been written and they are without a savior. 3 days he stays in that tomb, doesn't he? 3 days of becoming a stinketh. But after 3 days, that stinketh resurrects, doesn't it? After 3 days, Jesus comes out of that tomb and says, I gotcha again, because I live by different rules, and my rules say you can live beyond death. That there is something beyond what happens on this earth. But what did Jesus say in that? Not I'm resurrected, the story's over, but he says, I've resurrected so that you can do the same. I died and I came back to life so that after you die, you can come back to life too. And this is the day we celebrate that. We celebrate with lighting of candles as we realize the mortal bodies have finished. But the lights remind us that they have resurrected and they live again. That they have been resurrected into spiritual bodies that cannot perish. That they live eternally with God and present with us as witnesses, as saints, as the living presence around us that guides us and encourages us and continues to be who they are to us. Because we have a God that says, this earth is not it. He says, this is the prelude. This is just the beginning. This is just a moment in time. Come. Live on this earth. Have your childhood here. Enjoy it for all it's worth. Have the joys and blessings of the people around you and be raised with them. Yes, you'll feel pain. Yes, you'll feel heartache. Yes, you'll have times of struggle. You're going to go through it, and I'm going to be with you. But when your mortal body says, time is up, God says, my time with you has just begun. Because when your mortal body perishes, Jesus says, I personally come for you. I will come and I will take you to a place that I have prepared for you, and you will live eternally with me in God's house. And that's the promise that we remember. And that is why we celebrate. We celebrate because they, each one of them, has received their spiritual bodies, that they have gone to be with God. They have received their reward for their faith, and that is to be celebrated. I loved when I looked at the news this morning, trying to see what was happening on All Saints Day, and I saw pictures from Manila. I saw pictures of families cleaning crypts and decorating and putting out flowers and having family celebrations with their loved ones. If death was it and the period was there, why would we be in that place to celebrate with them? But because death is the comma that begins the next stage, that begins the spiritual life, that begins the resurrection, we can continue to celebrate with them. We can continue to be with them. We can still continue to gather and celebrate and feast and remember because they continue to live. But where's the next piece of the story we weave? Right behind me, right? We have this promise because of this, don't we? Because of what Christ did on the cross, how appropriate to celebrate communion with the saints, to feast with them in this way, to remember that Christ said the promise of resurrection happens because of my sacrifice. God says, I give you everything. Like the tree gave everything to the boy that said, I love you so much, I give you every ounce of my being. And God says, I will do just that. I will sacrifice and put myself in human form to dwell on this earth to be with you. I will put myself in human form on that cross, and I will die for you. I will stay 3 days of sacrificial death for you, but then I will rise for you, and I will be glorified for you. That's the promise right there. Christ says, my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. It is a new covenant. It is a new promise. The promise of grace, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of an eternal life with an eternal presence. I know I've said it before, but you cannot name another God who is revered, another God that is written about, another God who is believed in, that you can see that they have come to this earth to dwell with their creation, to be intimately close to it. But our God has. And he says, I give it to you eternally through my Holy Spirit. Because Christ said, I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to go back home. Because that's the destination we want to be at. And I'm going before you. But I leave my Holy Spirit behind. Every time you take of this meal, we bless it and we ask for the Holy Spirit to be present in it, to go into these elements so that as you receive it, you receive the Holy Spirit. Like the light inside the pumpkin, that Christ's Holy Spirit is put within you to go from this place with you. Christ's promise fulfilled. But where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? The promise fulfilled, and we are the vehicle of the promise, you see. Because there are people out there who still live in darkness, people that still have no idea what this is about, still have no idea what it's like to be loved unconditionally like we have, people who don't know what it's like to have somebody die for them, people who don't know what it's like to live in the comfort and peace of a God like ours, people who don't know what it's like to have a community to surround them like we do. People who don't know what it's like to live as a Christian and to have the blessings that come through it. But we get the privilege of being the vehicle of that promise, to go out and to live in such a way that people see the witness of it, to go and to share the story of what God has done with us so others can hear it and know that it's true. For us to be able to be the vehicle to ensure the story is still told. Here's why I love the mission statement of this church, that we are a diverse and caring community, sharing the promise of Christ, passing the faith to the next generation. Sharing the promise of Christ. That is what we do. And my friends, when you fill out one of these, when you say, God has blessed me, and I desire to give a portion of that blessing back, let me tell you, I know it can be a sacrifice. I know it could be a sacrifice when you're looking at that monthly budget and seeing those bills and thinking, I don't know if I've got it. But I tell you, you give to God what's God's, and God will make sure it's there. But when we make this commitment, when we make this sacrifice, when we make this promise to God, it helps the promise to be shared. Because that's what we do through this church. We share the promise of Christ in worship and studies and fellowships and circles and outreach lunches and Toberman drives. We're able to do it because of those who make promises to help with our promise as a church. It's a vehicle that helps lives to be changed because of the promise that we make. Today's about promises. Today's about celebrating those. Celebrating the promise that Christ made. Celebrating the promise fulfilled through the saints that have gone before us. And sharing our promise with God and celebrating that we get to participate in his ministry on this earth and sharing the news of his promise. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the promises. We give you thanks for your presence. We give you thanks for the lives that have gone before us. We give you thanks that you have called us to this place. We invite you to be present with us as we prepare for your holy communion, to be able to celebrate this meal together, to be able to treasure this meal together, knowing the depth of its meaning and the sacrifice it took for this meal to be possible. For all of this, we pray in your most holy name. Amen.